Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, and it is the 17th of October, and I am recording at 9:17 p.m., and that is still British summertime here in mild London. Okay, what about these markets then? Well, I'm going to mention politics, and for once I'm not going to talk about Brexit, but I'm going to start with an article that I picked up here today that I have written just a tiny bit about, but it's by Ambrose Evans Pritchard of The Telegraph, a favorite of mine, and the title of this article is Euro House of Cards to Collapse, Warns ECB Prophet. Well, who is that ECB prophet? It's Ottmar Issing of Germany, and described here, that's Professor Ottmar Issing, and described here as the European Central Bank's first chief economist and a towering figure in the construction of the single currency. Well, what's Issing's view here? Basically, he's extremely pessimistic. You'll be able to read the article yourself. And he's blaming a few others. And then you scroll down a little way in the article, and from the other, another leading figure among the two countries, Germany and France, here in the development of the whole single currency project and their great vision to build sort of a United States of Europe. Well, I'm talking about Jacques Delors. And he's come out and disagreed with Issing and made some other suggestions and put the blame on, you guessed it, people who are currently in charge of the show. Who gets blamed the most? Well, nobody much by name. Actually, no one is named. That would not be terribly delicate. But the ECB is probably going to come into come in for more criticism here overall, because if you attack Issing or if you attack Angela Merkel, or if you attack Hollande in France, if Delors were to do that, then it's getting downright personal, and you may well be running down the country. So the ECB is going to be fair game, and we can expect that the ECB will come in for a great deal more criticism overall. Well, what does that mean for Europe and the European markets? And we hear a lot of talk about Europe being cheap. Certainly it's cheaper than Wall Street, and we have had a reasonably good rally in recent months, but can it go on that much longer? I question that, although the charts have not deteriorated significantly since that rally began. But they've perhaps pushed back up to a little bit more towards risky levels. And same thing can be said about Wall Street, because Wall Street had been amazingly resilient, but then it's been faltering up near those highs. And something I mentioned in my last audio over a week ago, I said that with all that excitement about the S&P and the Dow breaking up to new high ground, of course, the NASDAQ 100 index did even better, led by those technology shares. But I said that if you remembered my old friend Richard Russell, who used to talk about Dow theory, and basically you couldn't have, you needed to have confirmation of transports, the transports index. And so we had the Dow up at new highs, but the transports index was lagging well behind, not confirming that upward break, and now we're seeing little rollovers and loss of upside momentum by those two more widely known indices, the S&P 500 and the Dow. So nervousness here in marketplace. in the marketplace. Well, that wouldn't be the first time we've heard that. And again, if I look at other comments out here today, I picked up another article, this one from Bloomberg, where to invest $10,000, to choose a round number, right now. And normally I don't like that sort of thing, but I looked at the names that they were listing, and there were some very familiar ones, some good names in there, starting with Barry Ritholtz, and then Sarah Ketterer, Mark Mobius, that'll certainly be familiar to you, Rob Arnott, Francis Kinnery. And I looked at what they were actually recommending for the most part, and they were all saying emerging markets on the basis that they are cheaper than certainly Wall Street. And they were also pretty much recommending anything else that was somewhat cheaper. And fair enough, you don't want to buy what's extremely overvalued in the marketplace overall. Well, I read all the way through this, and nothing particularly grabbed me. You know, if I had that metaphorical $10,000 to invest, I'd be sitting on it right now. I would not be pushing aggressively into any market. I would say markets are looking tired. They had a good rally in the last few months up until September and October, I beg your pardon, up until October. And they've lost a bit of form in here. Are we going to see a big downside move? Well, could we see a 10% correction or more? I think perhaps quite easily. Could we avoid that? And again, we have the U.S. presidential election, which is going to be an influential factor here overall. I mean, my own view is that it's virtually inconceivable that Trump could win the election. I certainly don't want Trump to win the election. The only disconcerting factor is that pundits everywhere on both sides of the Atlantic seem to agree with me on that point. But nevertheless, I'll hold my nerve on that and my view. I think it's virtually inconceivable that Trump could win the election. So there would be scope, as that occurs in November, to have a bit of a sympathy rally. Or, you know, just because maybe a few shorts that are on get covered, and maybe some people who've been sitting on cash decide to move into the market, because historically Wall Street has done better following an election victory that resolves any uncertainty, and then the market usually gets the goodwill, new president coming in with a bit of a bounce. And the only thing I think would offset that would be if between now and the third week of November, if we saw Wall Street rally rather than just mess around, let alone slide. In other words, if it discounted that Clinton, what I suspect would be the Clinton victory, then the market could yawn and say, well, so what? She's not all that popular anyway. But overall, point I want to make here right now is that I would be careful. I don't think one needs to be running into markets all the time. I think anything that you have done extremely well in that's looking maybe a little bit tired and pausing, not a bad idea to lighten positions a little bit. But most important thing I think to do is have some cash so that if markets do weaken in here, then if they weaken a modest amount, there would certainly be some buying opportunities. If they weaken a lot more than that, And I'm not forecasting a big setback, but if that were to occur for some reason, then you'd be spoiled for choice. But I would have some cash in here right now. What might do best afterwards? Well, I'd like to see how much various markets come back down. If we had a decent shakeout in the U.S. and pulled a number of the autonomies that Owen and I like so much on a rotational basis, because the autonomies, for the most part, will stay very much in form, and then they'll get very overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages, and maybe extend that for a relatively lengthy period, lulling people into a false sense of security, and then they come barreling back down in a reaction and consolidation phase, and the whole thing's over for at least 6 months. Apple's a good example of that taking place, and then firming subsequently somewhat, but largely because of Samsung's problems here overall. So, though there's no doubt that we continue to like a number of autonomies on a very long-term basis, but in here today, you know, I'd be extremely cautious here overall. And for listeners, including any newer subscribers, always welcome. This is not something that I was saying back in 2009, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, even 15, 2015, and neither was Owen. We were sticking with a overall bullish hypothesis on the basis that valuations certainly were much, much lower back in 2009 and starting that recovery, and technical action was good. Central bank action was good. Interest rates were extremely low. But, you know, after an eight-year bull market, then things are a little bit long in the tooth. Valuations have gone up quite a bit. A lot of share earnings. Well, Wall Street hasn't had a quarterly period of earnings growth for what is it now, six quarters in terms of overall average strong earnings growth. Analysts are forecasting higher earnings between now and the year end, but you know, we aren't seeing the beef yet, not to any real extent. So, again, another reason for caution on my part. Okay, what else? Looking at government bond markets, those yields are pushing higher. It looks to me like this is a very slow leak in the bond bubble. In other words, it's not exploded here. We're obviously not getting any meltdown in bonds on a real return basis. They're still not doing all that badly, but those bond yields are edging higher. And this, to me, after that 35-year plus bull market in terms of falling yields, is a very dangerous environment. And I don't want to have any of those government bonds. I don't want the corporate bonds either. What about the commodities? Well, it's been a sector that has been very much in a recovery phase since the beginning of this year. It was led by precious metals, but they've certainly experienced a significant setback in recent months. And to my chagrin, because I rode it up, but I've also ridden it back down, also platinum. And I'll mention that just a little more in here, because platinum is being treated, here it is, it's a precious metal, historically, normally, far more often than not, sold at a premium to gold of $100 to $300 or so on average. Selling at a much lower level, platinum in here today down another $2.50 nearly, at 937 against gold, which is at 1,235 50-54. But platinum had reached, just over a couple of months ago, had reached 1,200. And so this has come down very, very sharply. And when you ask around why and look up what they're saying on the internet, it's because electronic cars won't need platinum for their catalytic converters. They won't need catalytic converters, in other words. But the what portion of the automobile market will be electric cars? Will it be 2%? Will it be 5%? It won't be 5% soon. It'll take a few years. So there's still going to be a huge number of automobiles that will need some platinum, and albeit a little bit less because they become more efficient in the usage. But again, I make the point, or repeat the point, that platinum's performing as if it has no industrial uses whatsoever, which is absurd. And I would also emphasize that it is a highly desirable precious metal, but it's out of favor. So the fashion trend is very much against it, oversold on the downside. So is gold, so is silver, so is palladium. And I think they look now like recovery candidates once again, but we don't see that yet in the chart action. We've seen the loss of form in the chart action. We need to see some quite clear upward dynamics that aren't reversed in a day or two by those precious metals. And I think Owen had said in his excellent Friday audio that platinum would need to rally by at least $75 to $100 here to show a bigger rally than any other that it had seen during this pullback from that $1,200 dollar level. So I think they're cheap and they're interesting, but they haven't yet shown that they have hit their reaction lows, although my feeling is that they're probably not too far away from that here right now. What about currencies overall? Chinese renminbi weak. The Indian currency is really quite firm overall. The sterling story, of course, that's been very, very weak. My guess is that sterling around this round of phobia, 120 level against the U.S. dollar, that it'll hold in here for at least the short term. It's currently at 121.79 today. That's just down a fraction on the day. But again, I've already said it. I think deeply oversold, and there's no real reason why it should go much lower in here right now. But it's very much a political animal, and people will be watching the Brexit news for any leads on that. My own hunch on this is that we probably have to go, the UK probably has to go the hard Brexit route and just get out of the negotiations and deal on a global basis. That would be somewhat traumatic for the city. Banks wouldn't like it. It creates a little bit more uncertainty. But I don't think that Europe, unless it's all bluff, is currently in any mood to say, well, you know, we've got good trading relationships with the UK, let's not jeopardize those. Okay, they want to leave our club, but let's just say what's in our mutual best interests in here. But I don't see anybody on the continent saying that just yet. So I think a lot of investors are taking the line that Roger Bootle is probably going to be right on this, so we may well need to come out of the euro very, very quickly, or as quickly as possible. And what about the dollar? Last note here, the dollar is a little too strong. It's a bit easier in here today, but not down by much. It's currently at 97.895, so just a little below that 98 level, 100, just above that 100 level. That's the big psychological upside barrier. And stick to something you've heard me say on a number of occasions, and I've often written it, that a sustained break above that 100 level, which is going to occur over the medium term, if it were to occur over the short term, I don't think stock markets would like it one bit. Not Wall Street or any of the others. So it's another reason for a little bit of caution in here. I'm not forecasting disaster, but we could easily see a better buying opportunity than we see today. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.